The other factor here is that I have a problem with bullies. And when I see someone being a bully, whether it's toward me or toward someone else, I find it difficult not to respond. Many of you saw a recent collision between me and Nassim Taleb, the author of The Black Swan and Antifragile and other books, which I actually wasn't going to talk about. But Taleb is someone I've gone after before because he's attacked me as a charlatan, all in capital letters. And I just noticed him attacking Steve Pinker, as a charlatan, and all in capital letters, and as a journo, by which he means journalist. So I wasn't aware that he'd been going after Pinker, but when I saw him do that, I had to push back. And I should say, when I pushed back, some of you worried that I was pushing back against him unfairly and being a little mean-spirited in the process. You should just know the history here and judge for yourself. I wasn't going to talk about this, but people, this is how the sausage gets made. I know many of you love this guy and think he's a genius. I can assure you, none among you are as impressed with his intelligence as he is. This guy is just insufferable, and he's a bully, and he's most of the time doesn't make any sense and never knows it. I've actually never witnessed a marriage of incompetence and confidence so fully and grotesquely consummated in the mind of a person with a public platform. This is the most arrogant person I have ever had the misfortune of meeting. I had one lunch with him at a conference we both attended, and then he insinuated himself into a debate that I had been scheduled to have with an already vastly overcrowded debate at Ciudad de las Ideas in Mexico, the Mexican version of TED. And that debate can be viewed in its entirety on YouTube. This was a debate where we had, it was me and Hitch and Dan Dennett on one side, and Dinesh D'Souza and Rabbi Botiak, and I've forgotten who else on the other side. But then Nassim Taleb insinuated himself into the debate. He was aghast that he had not been invited to participate. And though he had another talk scheduled at the conference, he really must be included in this debate because he had something so valuable to share. And he was included because you just can't resist such an 800-pound gorilla. Now, I should say that I met him first, and when you meet him, you quickly discover that he radiates a sense of grievance from his pores in a way that few people do. It's kind of like a preternatural force of negative charisma, and he can convey his contempt for everyone at the table, just even in the way he says, pass the salt. He's so convinced that his genius has not been appropriately lauded that he finds some way to communicate this in almost every interaction. He is a child in a man's body. And the mismatch between his estimation of himself and the quality of his utterances is so complete and so mortifying to witness in person that you just find you're jumping out of your skin. And you can see what he brought to the stage at Ciudad. It was a performance that I think will stand the test of time for its incoherence and the confidence and censure of others on the stage with which that incoherence was espoused. It's really an amazing performance. And so whenever Taleb starts bullying someone, the first time this happened, he just attacked me out of the blue. I don't know what provoked it, but I just started seeing on Twitter that he was calling me a charlatan, and now he's doing the same to Steve Pinker. So whenever he's done this, I think he's done this twice that I've noticed, all I've done is share this video in its entirety. I'm not greenwalding him. Greenwalding, by the way, is a word now that's taking off on Twitter, which I love. You'll know what it means in context. I was not greenwalding him. I was not taking some partial and misleading snippet of his speech and defaming him that way. No, I'm spreading the entire content, his entire, whatever it is, it's in three segments. I spread the whole thing on Twitter and say, yes, please recognize what a genius we're dealing with, right? You judge for yourself whether this guy makes any sense at all, whether his animus towards science is compelling. And The first time around, the first time I did this, he went berserk and he said, it just shows you what a coward you are, that you'll deal with YouTube videos, but you won't deal with my published work, which of course is brilliant. And then he hurled some paper at me, which I read, also found terrible, and tweeted to my audience in, I thought, an entirely fair way. I said, Nassim Taleb thinks it's very important that you all read this paper. And I spread it that way. So I spread the content, which is in fact representative of what the guy is up to on these topics. In any case, he went berserk on Twitter. He may still be going berserk as I speak these words. And he called me a pseudoscientist and demanded to see, know what scientific papers I've published. And his discussion of these topics is so unprofessional that, again, I wouldn't engage with it, but for the fact that he is this tremendous bully. He's a very rich and, in some circles, well-regarded person. I'm not punching down when I deal with this guy. Inexplicably, there are people like Daniel Kahneman, who really is an 800-pound gorilla. We'll share the stage with him, and you can see him occasionally bail him out when he begins to become incoherent. But for the life of me, I can't see why anyone takes him seriously beyond the few memorable ideas he's had, like the notion of a black swan, which may in fact be the black swan of Taleb's career, which is to say the one instance in which he made sense. In his attack on me, Taleb brought up a few things which, again, in a totally incoherent way, which many of you may find interesting or relevant, and I think I've tried to sort this out in previous podcasts, but see if you can follow this. There's something here that's important and about which many people are confused. He claims I'm not a scientist, that I'm just a journalist, and he very snidely demanded to know whether I had ever published any neuroscientific papers. You know, by what measure am I a neuroscientist? And then, so I sent him the two fMRI papers I had published, and he got back with, you've only published two scientific papers with six different co-authors? How does that make you a neuroscientist? So there's an instance of a goalpost moving there. He asked to see the papers, which he assumed didn't exist. I sent him two papers, and he rejected them as being only two and having co-authors. He doesn't seem to understand anything about the conventions of publishing within science in general and neuroscience in particular. But then I responded, well, surely you, of all people, Nassim, are not claiming that scientific thought can only be confined to academic journals. And then he got back saying that most of his best papers had not been published, but they were rigorous. So now he's saying that it doesn't really matter if you've published in academic journals, but for some reason his papers are more rigorous. His unpublished papers are more rigorous than mine. And this thing is made even more incoherent because he's attacking Steve Pinker in precisely the same terms. Again, charlatan in all capital letters, journo as a journalist. And Steve has, 150, 200 academic papers. It doesn't make any sense. And then he, I think, tried to accuse me of hypocrisy for attacking Reza Aslan for lying about his academic credentials, as though I was a stickler for academic credentials. Now, so let me try to clear up confusion on this point, because there really is a real possibility of confusion here, and I think it's important to sort out. I don't care about credentials. I care about people's arguments and their evidence.